I know. I don't look a thing like Mike. He's a lot better looking than I am. I understand that, but you got me instead of Mike. There was a little bit of a mix-up, evidently, and so we're going to kind of wing this one a little bit. We've been studying out of the book by Leroy Brownlow, Why I'm a Member of the Church of Christ. If you don't have one of these, they're a great purchase. They're worth every penny that you pay for them, and they're not very expensive, I don't think. But we've been going through some of these things. I believe last class that we had on this, we were talking about scriptural baptism. Tonight we want to look at something a little bit differently. Have you ever heard somebody, because it is a predominant view within the religious world, say that you cannot so sin as to fall away? You can't so sin. Once you're a Christian, you can't so sin as to fall away from the gospel or be lost. Who can tell me the first example that we have of that? Pardon me? Well, okay. I'm thinking about, I want to go back a little farther in time. Leon, you have an example? I'm sorry? Okay, Judas did fall away. That's a good point. Yes.
Simon.
I'm sorry?
Simon.
Okay. I want to go way back. Somebody who taught. Let me rephrase that. Who taught this? Go back in time, and who was the first one to teach that you can't fall away? Leon. Okay, you're getting really close. How about the serpent? How about the serpent? Whenever he was told that you can't have this forbidden fruit, what did he say? Go ahead and take it. You shall not surely die. He, in essence, was teaching this doctrine. That's how old, how far back this doctrine really goes. To the idea of once you're in a saved relationship, you can never so sin as to lose your soul. But boy, I tell you, that is a dangerous doctrine. In fact, you'll even get some variations of this. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, if they were started out and they looked like they were Christians, but they left, they weren't really Christians. They have you ever heard that idea? That's something that is predominant as well. The idea that, well, they were never really Christians to begin with. But as we go through this quick study tonight, we want to see some examples where people like Peter, people like Paul, would write these things that said, well, they did fall away, or they could fall away. How many people here would enjoy getting on a ladder and getting up on this roof? Wow, okay, we got a couple of them that would like to do that. Well, I'm not one. I'm not with you on that. I don't mind heights. I don't mind looking over the edge of a cliff. But when you get that slope on there, and the steeper the slope, man, I sprout feathers and start clucking like a chicken. I don't like that. I don't like getting on that edge like that. Okay, but let's just assume for just a moment that I'm standing in this auditorium with you, just as I am right now, and we'll use Josh as an example. Josh said, "Now, Royce, don't fall off the peak of the building." Whoa, Josh, I'm not on the building. Yeah, but I don't fall off of it. For me to fall off of the peak of this building, I have to be up there, don't I? And yet, how many times, and we're going to see in the scriptures here in just a moment, how many times the idea is taught that the people could fall. Well, if they're not in Christ to begin with, you can't fall out of that relationship. You can't leave something that you're not in. So let's look at just a handful of these things tonight. And again, remember what we're trying to do here. We're trying to help people. When you hear this concept, well, you know, once a Christian, always a Christian mentality. You can never so sin as to lose your soul. We're trying to help people understand that is a bad doctrine that they have been taught. That yes, you can fall away from the truth. First of all, let's just think about this. There are things that a Christian can do. In fact, I'm going to maintain must do to keep from falling. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. And I could back up a little bit here and read some of the things prior to that. But for the moment, let's just stick with 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. And we may back up in a moment and talk about this. Now, notice here where it says, oh, I'm sorry, 2 Peter. Did I say 1 Peter? I meant 2 Peter if I told you that. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your calling and election sure. Now listen, for if you do these things, you will never stumble. The idea of stumbling would be the same thing as you will never fall. And he goes on in verse 11, says, for so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Well, what are the things that he's talking about? Well, back up here. Go all the way back, and we sometimes look at these things. We talk about these as the Christian graces in some cases. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. Now listen, for if these things are yours and abound, in other words, if you possess these things and you're doing these things, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted. So that's the context that we get from verse 10 when he says, if you do these things, if you have that diligence about you, if you have that faith about you and that knowledge about you and the self-control, that perseverance and all these different attributes that Peter writes about, he says you're not going to fall. Wouldn't it be silly for Peter to write such a thing if it was impossible for them to fall to begin with? In fact, I might suggest that it would be impossible to, if you have these things, to not ever stumble. In fact, you couldn't cease to do these things. They wouldn't even abound in us. So we look at that. It definitely implies that if there are things that we have to do to keep from stumbling, to keep from falling from the grace of God. Likewise, the Corinthian Christians were admonished to take heed lest they fall. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. You see, that we have an understanding here that there are times when we can have this arrogant attitude. Therefore, I believe I'm standing. I believe I'm in the right relationship with God, and you can't shake me from that. But if I'm just thinking that I'm in a standing or a right relationship, and I'm not positive I'm in a right relationship, it makes it very easy for me to fall. Paul understood that. He understood the idea. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 27. We often misread this because we like to eat a lot. I buffet my body. No. I buffet my body and I bring it into bondage or into subjection, lest by any means, after I have preached to others, I myself become a castaway or rejected. You see, he understood the possibility of falling away. If he did not bring his body into subjection, if he did not maintain that right relationship with God, that even after he had preached to others, He says, even after I've preached to others, I myself could be rejected by God. So as we look at some of these things, we realize that yes, we can fall away. And this is a dangerous doctrine out there that says that we cannot so sin as to fall away from God. And that's one of the beauties when we start talking about the idea of why I am a member of the Church of Christ. Because we teach, I'm going to say it the old-fashioned way, we teach book, chapter, and verse. We have a thus saith the Lord for why we believe that, yes, I can stumble, I can fall away, and I can lose my soul eternally. Now notice also, a child of God can stop their faith process. You know, at any point in time, and I've known some people that actually have. I just don't, the expression, I just don't believe the Bible anymore. I used to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. I just don't believe that anymore. I've actually heard people say that. But listen to what the Hebrews writer would say in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 12. Again, a warning. Take heed, brethren, lest haply there shall be in any one of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief. Now, who is he writing to? The Hebrew writer was writing to Gentiles who had never obeyed the gospel? No. What was he writing to? Somebody of totally different faith, and I know they didn't exist at that time, but Buddhists and all that? No. He's writing to Christians. That was the reason that the book of Hebrews was written, is because people were starting to fall away. And the book of Hebrews, much like Galatians, was trying to pull them back and give them all the evidence in the world that they needed to stay with Christ. Here the Hebrew people, that the Hebrew writer was writing to, these Christians were wanting to go back into Judaism. Now listen, that there shall be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in falling away from the living God. Well, how much more clear? Is that a good way to put it? How much clearer? That sounds better. How much clearer can you get than that? You can fall away from God. I can fall away from God. And we need to help people understand that, because it is a dangerous, dangerous doctrine. And again, we're not trying to emphasize too terribly many of these things. Time won't allow that. But the Galatians were taught that the Christian can fall away. Listen to what Paul would write in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 4. You are severed from Christ. We all know what that idea of severed means. If you got an axe in your hand and you miss what you're aiming at with that axe and you hit your foot, you might sever your foot. You're going to lose that foot. It's going to be gone. You are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law. Remember, they're wanting to go back to the Mosaic law. Now listen, you are falling away from grace. If you do these things, and that's what they seem to be determined to do, Paul is saying, you have fallen away from grace. So yeah, you can do that. And let's just look at just a real quick example. Think about the parable of the sower. We see that in Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 through 8, and then 18 through 23, and then Luke chapter 8, 14 through 15. And remember the whole story there, that we have the seed. We know from Luke chapter 8 and verse 11 that's the Word of God. And the sower is the teacher, the one who's teaching the gospel. The soil is that human heart where that seed is going to go. And we had four different results. Now, there was a wayside hearer, did not even hear, didn't become a child of God. Guess what they can't do? They can't fall away. Because they never accepted, in this case, the sower and the seed, they never accepted the seed. That heart wasn't prepared at all. So they couldn't receive it. Then, of course, you have the other aspect of this thing, and that is where it falls onto ground. The seed falls onto the ground in the stony ground, but there's no depth of soil. That heart hadn't been properly prepared. That soil hasn't been tilled properly. And it takes root, but as soon as what happens? The sun comes up. In other words, trials and tests come along. It withers and it dies away. It fell. It had some sort of rooting to it. Then you had also the seed that fell in among the thorns. And all of a sudden the cares and the deceitfulness of riches of this world do what? Steal it. They're gone. They can fall away. And of course the positive side of that is the last one that the Lord talked about, and that's where it fell on good soil. And what did it do? It produced some 30, some 60-fold, some more. And so we look at these and we realize that the Bible, and we only touched just a handful of them for this class, the Bible is replete with passages over and over and over that tell us that if we are not on guard, if we do not guard our hearts, if we do not have the proper mindset toward God, toward the Word, that what was once instilled in us can be lost. We can fall away. We can fall from grace. We're going to turn it over to our next song, Brother Jerry, and then we'll have our devotional.
I read somewhere a good number of years ago, a faithful brother in Christ had written an article, and it was just simply titled Lost. And he started out by saying that is probably the saddest word in our language in a lot of ways. Can you imagine being a parent and finding out that one of your children was lost? Can you imagine what it would be like to find out that that little child that you have nurtured, that you loved, that you fed, you clothed, you took care of when they were sick, was all of a sudden missing? They were lost. That would be a terrifying feeling. I've never experienced that before. Oh, maybe one of them ran off just for a second before you could get your back turned, or had to back turn to them, and then you had to chase them in the mall or something and catch up with them, but truly lost. And I've often thought about probably the saddest words in the entire Bible is when Jesus was talking about those that would be on his right hand and those would be on his left hand. The sheep on the right, the goats on the left. And the saddest words you could possibly ever hear would be, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Can you imagine what that would be like on Judgment Day? Do you spend your entire life, in some cases, people who never even tried to know what the truth is, never cared that there was a God in heaven, never cared that He sent His only begotten Son to die on the cross that we might have hope of eternal life? But how about this? Even sadder than that, the Hebrew writer would put it this way: how much sorer punishment if we had known the truth and then turned away from it. How much sadder that would be. As we stop and think about these things this evening, we want to focus on this idea that yes, we can sow sin. We can change. We can cease to believe. We can fall from God's grace and be lost everlastingly. What a sad commentary that would be. That we lived our entire life striving to be what God would want us to be, but then toward the end, or somewhere even in the middle of our life, we just threw up our hands and said, "I'll just live the way I want to live." What a sad thing that would be, to face God on Judgment Day. And we know we will. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. we'll all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body according to that which we have done, whether it be good or whether it be evil. But folks, the beautiful thing is it doesn't have to be that way. We have that avenue. First of all, if you've never been obedient to the gospel call, there is that plan of salvation that God put out for us. We have to come in contact with God's Word. We must hear the Word. And hearing, that can produce faith in us. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. But it has to go beyond that. And when you stop and think about it for just a moment, faith really and truly is the springboard of everything. And it's the first work that God has given man to do. To have faith. To believe that He is God, Hebrews 11, but also that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him, but also that Jesus is His very Son, the one that He sent into this world to die for us. That's the first thing. But there's something else we have to do. We have to repent of our sins. Jesus in Luke chapter 3 told His audience there that unless you believe, you will all likewise perish. You'll all be lost. But it doesn't have to be that way. Because God commands all men everywhere to repent. We see that in the great book of Acts. And so when you stop and think about it, we believe, we hear, we believe, we repent, but we also have to confess the name of Christ. Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. With the mouth, confession is made unto, that is looking towards or for salvation. But there's one final step, and it's ours to do. And that is to be baptized, to have those sins washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. To have those sins remitted, Acts chapter 2, verse 37 and 38. But if you are a child of God, and we've strayed away, it is so, I want to say this in the right way, but is in the world that we live in, there's so many things tugging on us to the left and to the right. There's always, we're being bombarded constantly with sin. And sometimes we can fall away, but we have an avenue. 1 John chapter 1, 7 through 9 tells us what that avenue is. And we can make things right, and we have that precious blood of Christ that will cleanse us of all of our sins. So as we're about ready to leave, or we're about ready to depart from this place, and before our song of invitation, what song would that be?
207, Hark the Gentle Voice.
207. Okay, 207. So we think about that as we're about to leave this place this evening. If you are in a position that you need to be baptized to have your sins washed away because you know what you need to do to be saved, and you haven't done that yet, or maybe you're a child of God and you need to come back to God on His terms. And that's the only way we can do it, coming back to God on His terms. Then we would implore you not to leave this auditorium tonight without making things right with God. Getting in that right relationship or regaining that right relationship. If you need to respond to the invitation plea, whatever it may be, if you just need the prayers of the church, we stand ready to assist you in any way that we possibly can as we stand and sing this song.